Acts chapter number 20. Let's look in verse number 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after the manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but that showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." I want to draw your attention to verse number 19. The Bible says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And I want us to look at that word and that thought this evening on humility tonight. And I don't know, tonight might be more of a teaching message. And so I just want us to get this thought through this evening. And we've got much scripture that I want us to look at. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these scripture verses down and go back and study these scriptures tonight. But I am wanting us to concentrate on serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I'm excited about our church. I really am. I preached a message the last Sunday evening, and I really challenged our church to get involved in areas. And I pray that no one saw that challenge as a negative thing. I think that we have a great church. I believe that with all my heart. I think that God is blessing in a great way. I think God is wanting to continue to do a great work here through this church. And I love to just sit and listen and hear how God has blessed this church over the years. When I got into my office and there were some furniture pieces and there was just a couple pictures that were left on the wall. And I see it every day, and it's an aerial photo of this property, and not quite all the buildings that are here now are on there, and there's another picture that has all the buildings on it. And I see that every day, and I look at that, and I just sit back and I dream. And sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes I pinch myself and I say, "God, I can't believe that you've allowed me to pastor this church. It's a great privilege." But I do believe that there is more to do, because I believe Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe that he's going to come, and I just see the events that are happening around this world. And it's just coming right in line with the Word of God. And we need to do, as the Bible says, occupy till he comes. And I am so excited just about the future of our church and about the opportunities for us to get involved and serve people. I had, before I left the platform last Sunday evening, before I was even able to get down off the stairs, I had four families come to me and say, "Pastor, we want to get involved. We want to do something. We want to serve." And serving is a wonderful thing. But serving with humility, I believe, is the attitude that we ought to have. We serve not because of who we are. We serve because of who he is. And there is nothing better, I believe, to see a Christian clothed with humility as they're serving. And so I want us to look this evening and talk about the subject of humility. And I want God to use our church to accomplish great things for him. You know, as we consider what Christ did for us, as we consider God's love and blessings to us, we must remind ourselves that God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud. I want us to talk to this evening about humility. You know, humility is not a weakness. Humility is Christ-like. If you were to look and really study Christ, you would find humility. There was nothing arrogant, nothing proud about Christ. Obviously, he could not be pride. He could not have sin. So we know there was nothing sinful about him. But if you study him and you look and you truly see how Christ lived, how Christ served, how Christ died, you would see a spirit of humility. Humility is strength. You know, when Christ was there on the cross, it took strength not to do something to those that were mocking him. When Christ was being beaten and when Christ was being abused there and in smote on his face and his beard plucked, it took strength. To think about this, you could have called 10,000 angels at any moment. I mean, he just could have called one to take care of the problem. He had all of heaven at his disposal. But the Bible says he still went to the cross. And he humbled himself. As we serve others and we serve in our church and we serve each other and we serve the Lord, we need to have a spirit of humility. Paul here is wanting and desiring to get back to Jerusalem here, and as verse number 16, he's trying to get back before the day of Pentecost, and he delivers this text here in 17, 18 down through 25, I believe what we read, and we find right in the middle of 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. You see, pride is what the natural man breeds in his heart. Humility is what the spiritual man models in his actions. Pride is what the natural man breeds in his heart, but humility is what the spiritual man models in his actions. Each and every one of us ought to attempt and ought to do our best to model humility in our actions. How we deal with people. I would say this, families, husbands, you ought to be humble in dealing with your home. Husbands, the most humble man your wife sees ought to be you. Humility is strength. When you're dealing with your children, you ought to have a spirit of humility, parents. They don't need to see someone proud and somebody arrogant. They need to see someone Christ-like, someone that's humble. Paul is speaking of humility here. A man that walks with God is known not by what he knows, but by how he behaves. You ever get around a Christian and you just say, boy, they are, what a great Christian. I've got some mentors in my life that I like to get around. I like the way they talk. I like the way they behave. I like the way they respond. I like getting around them. There's just a spirit of humility. I believe this, the closer you get to Christ, the more humble you become. Because you can't be close to Christ and have arrogance and pride. The two don't go together. Husbands, if you want to be a better husband, I would challenge you to this. Get closer to Christ. You'll become more humble in your spirit, and your family will be something you never thought it could be. Humility. A man that walks with God is known not by what he knows, but by how he acts. Have you ever said this? I don't care what anyone thinks. You don't have to raise your hand. You know the reality of that? That's pride. We as Christians ought to care what somebody thinks. Because I want to represent Christ. The Bible tells us this, as Christians we are ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador, I represent somebody. We have ambassadors in our country all across this world, and they are representing the American people, whatever country they're in. You know, this world is not our home. If you're a child of God, heaven is your home. We're just here for a little while, and we that are children of God, we are ambassadors for Christ here, and we are representing a different country. We're representing heaven. The decisions we make ought to represent heaven. The attitude we have ought to represent heaven. The spirit that we portray ought to represent heaven. a heavenly spirit. We're ambassadors. Some have said these very prideful words, I don't care what somebody thinks, or I don't care what anyone thinks. That comes from a heart of pride, not a spirit of humility. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter number 5. In verse number 5, the Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with, what's that word? Humility. Some of you are still turning there. Let me go back and I'll read that again. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This evening, first of all, I want to say this. Humility is the proper attire of a believer. Clothed with humility. The attire of a believer ought to be humility. You know, as we notice clothing or dress on the outside, every morning I get up and I'll put a suit on this morning and I take a tie, and most of the time I'll say to my wife, does this tie match? She'll say, no, put that one back and get another one, and I'll grab another one, and she says, just forget it, I'll go get you a tie, and she'll grab a tie that looks good. And we care about what we look like on the outside. We care about our clothing. We look into a mirror and we make sure things are fitting right, and things are tucked in and our shoes are tied, and we want to make sure that things are ironed correctly, and we care about our clothing, our physical, but we need to realize this, that humility is the proper attire for a believer. Spiritually, we ought to be identified spiritually in the area of humility. Now, the reality is this. Humility is difficult. It's something that we could talk about. It's something that we could look at. But the reality is this. It's not easy to be humble. Because that is the opposite from what us as a human being desires to be. But what we wear spiritually, what our attire ought to be, our proper attire spiritually for a believer ought to be clothed with humility. We make a clothing choice. You know, we make a choice. Are we going to identify ourselves with humility today, or are we going to identify ourselves as a proud look? Do we want to be seen as proud, or do we want to be seen as a haughty spirit, or do we want to be seen clothed with humility? I believe this. I believe that if we are friendly, I believe if we show others that this is a great place to worship, I believe if our music is biblically based, I believe if we preach the Word of God, I believe those are all things that ought to remain and never change in our church. But I believe this, that when someone comes into our church, they ought to see people clothed with humility. Servants. Wanting and humbling ourselves to be a blessing and help to somebody. I talked to a lady this morning. Really, I talked to her last week, and I talked to her more this morning. She had said to me, Pastor, I have a husband that really needs someone just to invest and spend time with him. He got hurt. Was on fire for the Lord for a period of time in his life and just kind of got hurt, got disappointed, got discouraged, and just needs somebody to help him. You know what she was saying? I just need someone that's humble enough to come alongside and help someone that's hurting. I was able to grab another fellow in our church, and I said this to this fellow during the week. I said, I need your help. I know this is going to take time. I know this is going to take energy. I know this is going to take effort. But I want to introduce you to somebody on Sunday that really needs someone to come alongside and help them. And I loved his spirit. Immediately he said, if that's what you need, Pastor, I'm willing to do it. Just let me know what you need. And I thought to myself, how humble that person is. Because spending time with someone does take time. You know, spending time with someone, you can get a little messy. But here's somebody with a humble spirit, somebody that's willing to invest and help someone. They want to be clothed with humility so they could help somebody that's hurting. You know, a proud look says maybe to somebody, you know what, just get over it. You know, you're saved and you're a child of God, and you shouldn't be upset. You shouldn't get discouraged. You shouldn't get hurt. You know, that sounds real good, but the fact of the matter is, even children of God get discouraged, don't we? Even children of God get discouraged and get depressed and get down and get defeated. And what isn't it a wonderful thing when we get sometimes to our lowest place that someone comes along and picks us up? We get down to the place where we just seem like it just can't get any lower. We can't get any more discouraged. We can't get any more depressed. We can't get any more upset. Isn't it great when somebody says, I want to come down where you are and lift you up and help you? A humble person, someone willing to invest, a humble person is one that will look and help somebody. You know, this attire, though, this humility, it's not something that we can do on our own. This attire only comes from the Lord. Humility comes from spending time with the Lord. I want you to write this verse down and study it a little later in the week. Psalm 10:17, the Bible says, Lord, thou hast heard the desires of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God is the one that allows that spirit to come into a person. Here we find the psalmist is saying, Lord, thou hast heard the desires of the humble. You know, we get that attire. We get that by spending time with the Lord. Number one, I say to you this, humility is the proper attire of a believer. Number two, humility is before God, but for the sake of other people. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Would you follow along with me in verse number 15? The Bible says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates. Skip with me down to verse number 21. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, have not repented of the uncleanliness or fornication, lasciviousness, which they have committed. You know, humility is something that we do before God, but we do it for the sake of others. I see in verse number 15, humility produces love for others even when there is no return from them. A proud person says, you know, I'll serve others and I'll work with others and I'll love others, but I've got to have something in return. But a humble person is willing to is going to produce love for others even when there is nothing in return. You know, Christian, we ought to serve even when we get nothing in return. Because we serve God by serving others. Christians, when we get to the place where, you know, we say we get discouraged and down, somebody has not responded correctly, somebody didn't treat me the way they should have treated me, someone didn't thank me when I served, or I put all this into something and the person just turned around and walked away. Humility produces love for others even when we do not get a return from that person. Have you ever done something kind for someone and not gotten kindness back? That yep is an amen. The reality is all of us have. But you know what humility does? Humility allows us to continue to love even when we're not loved. I talk to people, you know, there's times over the years counseling someone, I'll sit with someone, a husband or a wife in an office, and they'll say, you know, I did this because they weren't what they were supposed to be. You know what humility says? I'll be to you what you need, even if you're not to me what I need. Humility in a marriage will change your marriage. You won't even recognize it. Humility in a relationship changes relationships. You won't even recognize that relationship anymore. There's relationships that are broken because someone does something to them and they do something back. Humility says, I love you despite how you love me. Paul said, I'll serve you. I'll gladly spend for you. I'll gladly love you, even if I get nothing in return. The way a Christian ought to look, the way a Christian ought to behave, the way a Christian ought to be clothed with humility is this: I'm going to produce love for others, even if they don't produce that love back. Humility, verse number 19, humility edifies those that are weak spiritually. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. You know, humility, it edifies those that are weak spiritually. It encourages and it edifies those. Do you know, reality, Christian, is this: not everyone is going to treat us fairly. But a spiritual person still is humble and meek toward another. In verse number 20 and verse number 21, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would. Verse number 21, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already. You know, humility shows the proper attitude in helping others and corrects areas of sin in somebody else's life. By being humble towards somebody, it can also help them identify areas in their life that they need to change in. You know, we're not the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We should let the Holy Spirit do their work, and we just behave humbly, and that allows God to work in the life of somebody else. We get to a place in life, if we're not careful, we can get into conflict and we can get into problems and we can get into hurt and we can get into relationships and we can cause more problems than what needs to be there. I said a couple weeks ago, and many of you thought it was quite comical. I'm glad that you thought my life was quite comical when I get in trouble with my wife, but my wife said to me one time, you always think you're right. You think you're always right. And I said, if I thought I was wrong, then I wouldn't think I was right. You know, it made sense in my mind. You know what she was saying at times? Just be quiet and be humble. You know, even when you're right, a humble spirit might say, but I don't need to be the Holy Spirit. When we try to behave like the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life, what happens? We can cause more problems. The best that a Christian ought to do when they get into places where, like with Paul here, he's serving, he's not getting it back, he's getting involved in people's lives here, and they're involved in sin, and he just simply says this: I'm going to deal with you with a humble spirit. I'm going to deal with you in a humble way. I'm going to continue to love you. I'm going to continue to serve you. I'm going to continue to be involved in your life. I'm going to continue to pray for you. I'm going to continue to be a humble example, and I am not going to tell you what the Holy Spirit of God is going to do. I'm going to just simply be to you a humble spirit and let the Holy Spirit of God work in your life. So that when you get right, our relationship will not be wrecked. Humility also causes godly promotion. Let me read this verse for you. 2 Chronicles 34:27 says, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, It did render thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Job 22:29 says, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Do you know what humility does? It causes God to promote. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Maybe you're here tonight and you just think, when am I ever going to get ahead? You know, sometimes you say, boy, being a servant, being humble, sometimes it feels like you're a doormat. That's the truth. You know, as a pastor, I praise the Lord that I haven't had to deal with it here, but, you know, I've only been here a little while now, but previously there's times where you just have to be a doormat. Truth is, I want to tell somebody at times what I think. You know, sometimes we forget that people have feelings. Anyone ever get their feelings hurt? I have. I'll tell you, there's times I want to say, you know, I'm the pastor, you shouldn't treat me that way, but in reality is this, I'm still a human being, better than anybody else. There's times when you get put in a position, you want to say, I'm not going to stand for that, I'm not going to allow that, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to resist, and I'm going to show you where I stand, and I'm going to show you what I think, but the Bible here tells us this, that God causes the promotion in the life of a humble person. Matthew 23:12 says, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Write that down, Matthew 23:12. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know, Christian, we ought not seek to be exalted, but God exalts a humble person. I don't want to seek to be exalted, but I do want God to exalt me because he receives glory that way. Humility causes a godly promotion. You know, when you get promoted in a godly promotion, you don't have to worry about someone else taking it away from you. One of my favorite books, A Tale of Three Kings. Has anyone ever read that book by Gene Edwards, A Tale of Three Kings? Well, what a great book that is. I would recommend anyone reading that book, A Tale of Three Kings. The author's name is Gene Edwards. Just a small book. You can read it in just a short period of time. King David was a shepherd boy, and he was anointed king. And Saul was after his kingdom. I preached that this morning, God's hand was off of Saul. You know what the reality is this? That David was going to be king and Saul had no say in it. Saul thought he had the bigger army. Saul thought he had the position. Saul thought that he had the prominence. He thought that he could kill David. But the fact of the matter is, Saul could not touch David. Because God said, David, I'm going to promote you. And David, then knowing that throughout his life, he's promoted to be king, not because of his doing, not because of what he desires, but he becomes king. And no one could stop David from becoming king because it was God that promoted him. Later on, you find where Absalom takes the kingdom from David. And what does David do? David removes himself and he flees. And all those around David don't understand. David, just fight. Go back and kill Absalom and fight Absalom. You've got mightier men than Absalom. Don't let Absalom do this to you. And David realizes this. If God has anointed Absalom to be king, then I can't stop him. And if God's anointing is still on my kingdom, then Absalom can't stop me. And what he realizes is this, that promotion, godly promotion, comes from a spirit that is humble. You don't have to fight for what God's given you. You don't have to make everyone know what position you have. Simply act humble, simply behave in a humble manner. And you know what? God will take care of the problems. When David was fighting Saul, what did Saul end up doing? Saul ended up dying. David became king. When Absalom tried to take the kingdom from David, Absalom was killed and David went back on his throne. What I'm saying to you is this, when God promotes a man, no other man can tear that man down. That man needs to be humble. Now, pride can tear that man down and lack of humility can tear that man down, but a humble spirit allows God to promote. You know what I find in Psalm 69:32, the Bible says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You know what I find as well? Humility, it brings peace. I like peace. I like to go home and everything be peaceful. How many of you like a home that's peaceful? I mean, kids are having a good time, but peaceful. God's blessed me with a home like that. Come home and I have a wife that it's peaceful. I like peace. Peace does not always mean quiet, but peace means peace. Humility brings peace. Maybe tonight your spirit is stirred and your spirit is opposite of peace. You know what brings peace? Humility. You know what brings peace to a hurting marriage? Humility. You know what humility allows someone to say? I'm sorry. I wish I didn't have to say I'm sorry as much as I do. But I hope I never get to the place where I can't say I'm sorry to those that I've hurt. Because humility brings peace. In Psalm 34:2, the Bible says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Enjoyed my office this afternoon and just got alone with the Lord and prayed and studied and prayed some more. And it was peaceful. I'm looking forward to going home this evening and spending some time with my family and just having peace. Can't wait to get up tomorrow morning and I get the privilege of working here. I feel bad for most everyone else. There's only 47 of us that get the privilege of coming here. But I pray where you go tomorrow is a place of peace. And you can bring peace to that place if you bring humility. Your home ought to be a place where you're excited to get to because it's a place of peace. Relationship with your children ought to be a relationship you enjoy having because it's a relationship that brings peace. You know, coming to the house of God ought to be a place of peace. I like last Sunday evening we sang and sang again. But I think when we sing and we truly mean it and we're truly worshiping the Lord, it brings peace to our lives. I don't know the words to the song. I only know a couple of the words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the only words I know. Me and Chloe, we sang that. Last night in the van, we sang it over and over and over and over. Just those words, that's it. Until there was no peace. The rest of them said, stop, please. Put something on the radio. Put something in the CD player. We got to get them to stop. But Chloe and I, we were having a ball singing last night. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It brings peace. Christian, if you don't have peace in your life, if there's just concern and criticism and hurt and envy and lust and jealousy, you are missing out on a victorious Christian life that you can have that can come with the right spirit of humility. If you don't have that in your marriage, you're missing out. I like to joke around. I tell people I have the best marriage in the world. The reality is this, each and every one of us can have the best marriage in the world if we bring the right things to it. If there's issues and problems in your home, if there's lack of peace, there's probably lack of humility. You don't always have to be right. And sometimes, it's better for us just to be humble than to be right or to show that we're right. Paul here was concerned. He said in Acts, I'm not going to see you, but I am serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He said later on, I probably won't see you face to face anymore in verse 25. But he said, I'm serving the Lord with humility. 2 Corinthians, he writes, he says, I'm gladly going to be spent for you, even if you give nothing in return. Church, let's ask the Lord tonight, make us peacemakers. Make us humble. If there's something that you have that's causing something other than peace, fear, unsettledness, worry, nervous. It feels like there's always a storm brewing. Add humility to that storm, and you'll see a change. And I promise you this, you'll enjoy that change. Because anytime you put Christ, and you put the cross in the middle of any problem, always makes it sweet. In the Old Testament, there was bitter water. The Lord said, put the staff in it, put the cross in it. Makes bitter water sweet. There were those that got bit and were dying in these bites. And if you lift up the cross and you look to the cross in those situations, healing comes. You see, when you put the cross into any situation, you can bring humility. And when humility is placed in any situation, peace can be had. And I know the Lord is coming soon, and there is great work to do. Let's be found faithful. Let's be found humble. Let's be found serving. So when the Lord does take us home, we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.